Yo, what is up, my friends? Let's get this podcast started.
Public Yemeni number one.
What's up, ladies and germs? I don't know if there's any ladies here, but I damn well know there are some germs on my microphone. Jason Bacon, what's up? Jason Bacon says, how's it going, ladies? Yeah, what ladies, bro? We're going to start getting ladies on these podcasts, man. We'll figure it out. Get some more women in here, you know, to yell at us and tell us that we can't be the men that we want to be. I love women, though. I love women so much. I mean it. And I don't mean just having sex with them. I love that, too. But I love women, man. I don't understand men who are kind of like, oh, there's just too many women around. I don't know. I like it when women are around. It's a good equalizer. You know? So long as they're not talking. I love having them around. No, I'm joking. I love women. A lot. Some things I kind of wanted to talk about. I have not been fucking sleeping good these last 2 days, man, and I cannot really do my best if I'm not sleeping well. I was at the Madhouse Comedy Club last night. Hilarious comedian Subha was headlining. And her and I were talking about how she's not getting any sleep and she's writing for a TV show and she's like busting her ass and she barely sleeps. She even talked about how back in the day when she was doing comedy full time and then also doing term papers at night, she was snorting caffeine pills. What? I was like, yo, I don't know how you guys are, man, but if I don't sleep well, I don't care how much caffeine I snort, I'm just not performing that well. You know, my brain is like really slow. And I'm not mad, and it doesn't help that I'm like getting high right now. But guys, I can't help it, you know? Today's one of those wake and bake days. Sorry as I'm hitting this. What's up? What is up, Bolty? My old boy from the Marine Corps. He says, what's up, bro? You taking chamomile pills still? Yes, I am taking the chamomile. If you guys heard in a previous podcast, I was talking about how the science professor, Andrew Huberman, talked about a cocktail of natural supplements to help you sleep, and it has been helping. I'm going to have to admit, I think these supplements that I'm taking is helping. The only problem is I got this pinched nerve in my neck and I got a bulging disc in my neck. And I think I know where the bulging disc comes from. It came from Marine Corps boot camp. I got the MRI and everything, and the doctor says, oh, I don't think it has anything to do with any impact. It just might be regular wear and tear. It's possible. You know, you're getting old. It shit happens. But no, I think it was in boot camp, man. Let me get one more hit of this. I know this is unprofessional, me hitting this, guys, but this is one of those days. But I was in the Marine Corps, and in boot camp, we did this thing where the platoons would compete against each other, and it was this type of thing where we learned to fight with these jousting pins. Kind of like an American Gladiators. It was like you're holding these giant Q-tips, right? And then you move them around and try to hit people with it. And it was supposed to teach us how to train in hand-to-hand combat, because the M16 rifle can also be used as a weapon to hit people. So the Pugel sticks, that's right, Pugel sticks. Thank you, Bolty. And what we would have to do is we'd have to run through a maze. Like, they made a maze in the forest, and we would have to run through the maze two guys, and then the other team would bring in two guys, and then we'd meet up in the middle in this big giant square, and then we'd duke it out. And we were wearing, like, football helmets, and we would take these pugil sticks, and you would hit your opponent. And the referees would notice whoever got hit was instantly considered dead. So the referee or the other people that were moderating the game would grab the Marine recruit that was hit and throw them to the ground to let them know that they're out of it. Well, I kicked ass in this, and I remember I kicked ass so much that the drill instructor made me walk home with the trophy. You know, because we're competing against all these other platoons. Oddly enough, it was also the day when a bunch of drill sergeants from the United States Army was hanging out with our drill instructors, trying to get an idea of what the training was in the Marine Corps as opposed to the Army. And having the Army there, you know damn well, our drill instructors were like, yo, you better show up. You better show up, nasty. You better fucking daggone pop his head off. If you don't pop one of their heads off, I'll pop your fucking head off. You know, it's one of those things. So we're already trying to show up. And, sounds like I'm hitting a CPAP machine. And I joined the Marines with my buddy, you know. Like, he went to the recruiting station to talk me out of joining, and then he ended up joining with me, which was fucking hilarious. He went to the recruiting station to talk me out of joining the Marine Corps, and then that motherfucker ended up joining the Marine Corps with me on the buddy system. So we was in boot camp together. We paired up for this battle, and our drill instructor cheated. He cheated, but he also cheated in a way of teaching us, hey, man, war is not fair. And how he cheated was he took us to the maze early before everyone else. He said, I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to show you how the maze looks so that you can get through the maze quicker and make it to the center to fight your other Marine recruits. And we need to win this shit. So we did reconnaissance the day before. He made us see the entire maze. We learned it. We knew how it worked. So by the time me and my boy were about to go run through this maze, we knew exactly what we were doing. Full speed ahead, running through the maze. We get to the center. As soon as we get to the center, I see the other guys coming. And I fucking charged, man. Helmet to helmet, me and this guy hit each other. And when I hit him, I hit him so hard, he flew back. And as he flew back, I hit him with my joust a little bit. He was considered dead. My buddy, Dia, he got hit. And I heard his voice behind me going, bah! Like, we're like good friends, man. Like I know that bah! Sound meant that he got hit. And it was crazy because my back was to the other opponent that was left standing now. And in a split second, man, I took that pugil stick without even looking and threw it and hit it behind me, anticipating some guy was going to come up. And sure enough, pugil stick hit him. And I was there standing, winning. And our drill instructors were really happy to see me show that much aggression, you know, in the win, especially in front of the Army drill sergeants. I think that's where I compressed my neck. Because I did get into an accident, an LAV accident in Israel one time during a training mission. And I hit my neck, I hit my face really hard. But I really think that was the moment. That was the moment where I knew. So now I got this compressed disc in my neck. And depending on how I sleep, man, it's funny. I don't know. Sometimes it's the inflammation of what I'm eating or how I'm feeling that day or whatever. Some nights, no problem. But man, these last few nights, man, I'll be sleeping on my side. That bulging disc will hit that nerve. And then right down my arm, I'll just get these shooting, ridiculous pains. And it's like numbing, burning sensation. And you know, and then it wakes me up throughout the night. I'm already a short sleeper. No matter what, I'm always up at 5 hours. That's just how it is. Me and my sister are the same way. 5 hours, like clockwork, my eyes are open. It doesn't matter. So no matter when I sleep, I will have 5 hours to get in the best amount of sleep I possibly can. And if I'm waking up 4 or 5 times a night, man, that's a shitty 4 hours, four or five hours. I even got a sleep app that tells you how long you were in bed and then how long you were actually sleeping. So tonight I actually slept 4 hours, but you know. So that's where I'm at, Balti. The chamomile is working. It's called apigenin, which is really hard to find. It's the extract from chamomile, 50 milligrams of that, plus 200 to 400 milligrams of L-theanine. And then also, I think 400 to 800 milligrams of magnesium threonate. So all I'm saying is, yeah, I didn't sleep that well because I was getting up a lot. But I tell you what, that cocktail of those supplements have allowed me to maximize that 4 hours. So, you know, because I was surprised waking up with these pains and noticing that, oh, I actually slept 2 straight hours, even though that jolting pain was happening. And before I did that, the supplement regime, I was only getting 2 hours, 3 hours of sleep. But, you know, I'm going to see my doctor. Already saw him. You know, he did the MRI, said do some physical therapy. I did physical therapy. It helped a little bit. But then, you know, it's just unpredictable. And I'm done not sleeping good. Now we're doing the next step. At the end of the month, I got to go over there and they're going to put a big giant needle in my neck and shoot a steroid into that nerve and hopefully it'll shut it the fuck up forever. Otherwise, the next step is I got to have him shave off the bone spur that is touching the nerve. And that's another thing. So I'm getting arthritis in my neck between those discs and I ask him, how can I stop that? He goes, you can't. That's just what it is. You're fucking old, dude. You're old. You're a geezer. Game over. Game over. Fuck, man. I never felt old until this moment. You know, with this whole neck sleeping issue. Never felt old any other way. But now I'm just like, yo, that window's closing, man. You know, like. So now I got this like bone accumulation in my neck next to the bulging disc, next to the nerve. So now first step, see if we can get that nerve to shut up. If we can't, they're going to have to open me up, man. Go in there and shave off that bone spur and hopefully that helps. And if that doesn't help, I don't know, man. I'm ready for civil war, dude, because I'm pissed off. I'm pissed off. I can't sleep. I want to kill people. Like the Marine in me is like coming out, you know, like I'm getting angry. I have to like dose myself with marijuana throughout the day to keep myself from snapping boot camp style. This is so unprofessional. Anyways, so there's my sleep. And here's the thing with this doctor that I got. So it's an HMO and what Balti says, I've had them burn nerves in my neck before. Seem to work well. Burn nerves? Bro, hold on. As I drink this second energy drink of the day because I'm fucking old. And I can't sleep well. So now I got to get energy in the form of a flavor called Frozen Bombsicle. Man, shut the fuck up. Who the hell names these things? Well, whatever it is that you did with your neck, Balti, by burning the nerves or whatever, if they are doing the same thing that I did, I don't think they're going to burn my nerve off, bro. I think what they're going to do is they're going to inject the steroid in there. But, bro, if it's working for you, man, I hope it works for me because I need it. I need it. I need to get my sleep back, man, because I can't function some days. Everyone in my family's like that. I know people like that comic last night. She can function without sleep. She can really push through it. She's one of those people that'd be like, oh, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that. That's not me. And then it's funny. Like, I talk to my sister and I talk to my cousins and everyone's the same. And I think it's genetic, you know? Speaking of this doctor, so I got an HMO. I got this doctor. This goofy. No, he's not goofy, man. You know, I don't trust him because he's kind of dead inside. So here's the thing. I'm using him to get my MRI. Then I'm using him to give me the recommendation to get the injection in my neck. The next step is surgery. I don't think I want this guy touching my shit, man. He just looks like he's dead inside, man. Every time I see him, he's really fast. You could tell he doesn't want to, like, take the time with you. He just wants to churn this out and get this meeting over and move on to the next step. And then I would ask him other questions like, oh, you know, what can we do? What can we do? And he'd always start off by going, well, first off, I'm a surgeon. That's what I get paid to do. But first, we should try physical therapy. So it's kind of like he's telling me with his dead fisheye stare, I like cutting people open. And that's what I do. Just so you know, that's what I really want to do. But I guess the protocol says I gotta tell you to get this thing injected in your neck first. But what I really want to do is put you under and cut you open. When I do surgery, I have a boner. Get a big stiffy. That's why I only have male assistants in the surgery room, because I don't want to be me too'd, because I'm stiff as a rock if I'm cutting your neck up. I don't know. It was just really weird. It's like I've never had a doctor where I'm just like, yo, if it gets to the point where you now have to do something to me, nah, finding someone else. It's just weird. It's really weird. It's really weird to get a doctor that just looks like he doesn't even want to live, you know? Yeah. Well, I don't know if you guys heard in the news, we had some really sad shit going on. This fentanyl thing is now hitting closer to home. I can't believe it. I honestly cannot believe it. Like, you've probably seen the articles of Fuquan Johnson. I put his picture up over here. This is the last picture I took with Fuquan. At a comedy show that we did in Burbank, Jack Jr. show, who is one of the owners of the Haha Comedy Club. It's crazy, you know. Fu was a really, really funny guy. He's just too damn funny. He was a naturally funny guy. Always raspy with the voice. Always got some type of observation about anything and everything. You know, you go to these. See, Fuquan has been around for a while, but ever since I've been doing stand-up, I've been on the road a lot. I really haven't been doing much L.A. work because, you know, the road has been my thing. Now I'm starting to put more focus in L.A. And that's when I started to meet Fu. He was, the host of an open mic called Flashbacks here in L.A. Dante Chang. Also a hilarious comedian, owns a clothing store on Melrose. And then in the back of that clothing store, he has an open mic that runs throughout the evening. So I've been going to that mic, especially when the quarantine was lifted. And that's where I met Fu. And this dude was just always funny. I mean, at open mics, man, we'd be trying stuff that doesn't work. Stuff that we have written. Fu would just get up there, have nothing prepared, and just talk. And everything he said was hysterical. He's just one of those guys where you were like, yo, man, this guy is going to blow up one day and everyone's going to be so happy that he did. Now we see him on the news for dying on fentanyl. It's crazy. It's just crazy. And I was just getting to know this guy, too. We were just getting to know each other. Fuquan wasn't one of those guys that really cared about reading. I mean it, man, because like he was the only host at an open mic that would like when he first started, he would like he'd be like, all right, so our next comedian is Mike E. Shit, I ain't saying his last name. He's just Mike. Come on, Mike, get up here. And then he would just get to a point where he would never attempt to say anybody's last name whatsoever. He'd even go at the top and tell everybody, hey, yo, I ain't even going to try to say your last name, so you're going to have to figure it out. But when I first met him and he couldn't say my name right, man, I started busting his balls. I was busting his balls hard. Not only that, every time he would like come up on a last name, I would cackle laughing in the back. So funny to me, you know? And Fuquan was one of those guys where you look at him and you're like, yo, this guy can really handle it. You know, he's one of those, he's a roaster, you know? He's not going to get hurt by me fucking saying shit about him not being able to read people's last names. Man, was I wrong about that, man. Because when we first met each other, he hated me for a minute. I was actually making him insecure about his issues with reading. And I don't know, man. I just thought that shit was cute. Because when I first met him, I'm like, this guy's hard, you know? He's hard. And then when you get to know him, you're like, oh man, he, you know, he's hard because deep down he's soft, you know? Not soft in a lame way. No, he was like, he's kind, you know. Like all of us, he has insecurities, you know, and he was so open and vulnerable enough to like show that. And that's when we really started clicking, because once he realized that I was laughing at him out of love, not to be sinister. You know, because I do have a demeanor that sometimes, man, if I'm like laughing at you or whatever, I can like go too hard in the paint where it kind of comes off as I hate you or like, you know, I want to see bad things for you or whatever. And that's not the case. You know, it's just my exterior is kind of hard, you know, but on the inside, you know, there's no truth in packaging. Or my friend Lauren Bickers would say, I'm a kitten in a tiger suit. I think that's a better way of putting it. But man, big ups to Fu, man. Damn, I can't believe he's gone. I really can't. It blows me away that it hit so close to home. It was him and three other comics. One of them is a Kate Quigley. Hilarious comic. If you guys want to find one of the fucking funniest female comics out there, Kate Quigley. Look her up. Thank God she was there. And when the paramedics arrived on the scene, everyone else was already long dead, except for Kate. And they rushed her to the hospital. And it seems like now she's tweeting again. So that's really, really nice. You know, it's really nice to see that, you know, she made it out, because we were all kind of worried that she might have not made it out. But yeah. Not only that, Michael K. Williams. How is that? Like, this whole week has been nothing but a fentanyl fiasco. I'm only used fiasco because it alliterates, because I'm a poet. I mean, come on, man. Like, I don't think that we know for sure if he passed away from fentanyl, whether he was doing heroin or cocaine. I don't think we're clear on that yet. At least I haven't seen it. Man, I've heard about fentanyl all the time, but then when you start seeing it happening closer to home with your friends, that's when it's just like, it's really hard to wrap your mind around. And then now it seems like it's way more than it ever was to me. Well, because, you know, my friend passed away from it. And not only him, apparently I was looking up and, Logan Williams, I guess from the TV show Flash, he, was just found dead, confirmed fentanyl. I mean, I think for him, he was taking it from what I was reading. I could be wrong. Not that it was laced in something. Cause when it came to Fu and everyone else, they were doing cocaine and it was cut with fentanyl. And I had no idea that it doesn't take that much to kill you. Cause in my mind, I was thinking about, you know, when everyone was doing the cocaine, didn't anybody at some point go, oh, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't do another hit? I feel weird. Or was it like they all did one hit and then that was it? They were all gone. I don't know. And here's the thing. I don't even like cocaine. I don't. I think I've done it 5 times my entire life. The 3 last times I did it were recently. So the first 2 times I did it, man, like the first time was fucking a decade or so ago, more than that, like 20 years ago. And I remember when I did it back then, I was like, I don't like cocaine. Like, I remember when I did cocaine the first time, I was like, I like weed. That's what cocaine made me realize. I liked weed better. Then I remember I talked to my friend Sean McGettigan and I was trying to break down to him. I was like, you know, I did cocaine. It didn't do much for me. You know, like I didn't really feel anything. And he came to the conclusion, and I think he was right, that people who do cocaine typically are people who are low energy, or and they want that upper. They want to feel confident, on top of the world. They want that upper. I'm already on that level as it is. So I think that when someone like me does cocaine, the change in feeling is really not that much. I feel a little something, but it's just not enough for me to be like, yo, this is great. But I didn't like it. Didn't care for it. And then I think I did it the second time, you know, not too long ago, like maybe about 2 years ago. And then the last 3 times was recently, over the last year. Because it was coming around and I would just be like, okay, I guess, you know. But now I'm like, fuck anything that's powder, dude. Like just, it's just scary. To me, like it's scary to think that you're gonna snort something and it could be laced with this thing that it doesn't take much to kill you. So yeah, you know, I guess that just ruined the coke industry. You would think, right? And then I looked this up. And apparently, there are test strips that you can, I'm putting this on the screen, there are test strips that you can travel with to make sure that the cocaine that you're taking is safe and doesn't have fentanyl in it. When I was doing this research, there was a part of me that was kind of like, oh, come on, don't have this out there. Because there was a part of me that was kind of like, hey, you know, fuck it. Maybe less people will do cocaine. You know? At least me, you know, like after this scare, I'm like, oh, for sure. I never cared for it anyway. So now it's like, if you're pulling that out, I'm like, uh-uh, I'm okay with it. So then when I searched it, I realized, oh, no, there's test strips? You can get them off Amazon. And this is for anybody who's watching it and cares and wants to be prepared. You know, or if you have to do cocaine or anything for that matter, that's a drug that could be laced with something. Here it is. There's some test strips. It says fentanyl test strips can show if a substance contains fentanyl in just a few minutes with about 97% sensitivity. The over-the-counter strips are available at harm reduction sites such as syringe exchanges, as well as online in some corner stores, according to the Health Fairs Journal blog. So just putting it out there. If you're listening to this and you're like, yo, I'm going to keep doing cocaine, I would totally get one of these test strips, man. But then again, I know I read this and I'm like, oh, great. You're just giving people more reason to keep hitting it. If anything, this is probably good motivation for someone who's like, yo, man, I think I've been done with cocaine. I need to be done with cocaine. Then the fentanyl thing kicks in. He's like, oh, yeah, well, for sure. Now I'm done with cocaine. And then you're like, oh, you know, you can get test strips. I'm like, oh, shit, I guess I'm not done with cocaine. Yeah. I don't know. Stay away from that shit. To me, it's crazy that it's just even, this is a thing. People are just dropping like flies right now because of this shit. And then that it hit so close to home, you know, with foo. But if anything, man, I think this is, you know, I think more than ever, we need to be on top of our health, man. I know if you guys heard me talk about it many times. I love being healthy. I love doing what I need to do to stay as healthy as possible. That shit's just so important. What I want to talk about now is how Joe Rogan did not get vaccinated, ends up getting COVID. And as soon as he announced that he got COVID, I got excited because I knew that a lot of shitheads were going to be popping off at the mouth. People who are pro-vax. I knew it. I just knew it was going to be a shitstorm, but I didn't think it was going to be a shitstorm like it has been. Well, actually it is. It's like, look, fuck Trump, right? I can't stand that motherfucker, but fake news, quote unquote fake news. Yeah, it's very fake. It's very fake. Joe Rogan getting COVID made you realize, if you were paying attention, just how the media, mainstream media, mind you, is just a propaganda arm for big money. War. Big pharma, and anything these politicians want to push. And they do it through shaming us. And I talked about this on the last podcast. They do it through shaming you. They use the element of shame. And this is the thing that really kills me, is that, like, he comes out and says he took a whole bunch of shit. He took ivermectin, which is a controversial drug, apparently. But you know what, though? Anything can be controversial if you let the media dictate the narrative, right? I mean, when Trump was in office, that fucking, it was so nauseating to have that guy in office, because he literally was just so good at, like, causing an emotional stir amongst us left and right. Not to mention, the liberals hated him so much that they went out of their way to do the antithesis of anything that he said. So remember hydroxychloroquine. He brought up hydroxychloroquine. Not to mention, he also told us that we should inject ourselves with bleach. I mean, that's besides the point. The fact that he just uttered the word hydroxychloroquine. Every person that was left-leaning or hated Trump instantly shot down that whole idea of hydroxychloroquine. So you got to understand, not all doctors know what they're doing. Some doctors know more than others. Some doctors under your care will probably be like, hey, from what I've been learning, I think hydroxychloroquine would be something that you should take. And it just caused such a political stir that, like, certain people, their doctors would want to give them hydroxychloroquine and then would have to ask them first, hey, I don't know what your political leanings are and how you feel about hydroxychloroquine, but this could be something that could help you battle COVID. I think Joe Rogan said that about Brendan Schaub. Brendan Schaub said that his doctor approached him that way and was like, hey, do you know, I don't know how you feel politically, but this might work, and this seems to be at a specific dose to be safe, and it could help. And Brendan Schaub's like, I don't give a shit what my political leanings are. Just give me what you think as a doctor I should take. And here we go with ivermectin. And the thing that really pissed me off is that he took it, okay? Not that he took it. He got it prescribed by his doctor. So his doctor, he found a doctor that has been open about ivermectin, you know, and saying that he's used it on many of his patients with really, really good results. But because it's been vilified in the media, now it's called a horse dewormer. And this whole idea of calling ivermectin a horse dewormer is so childish, because that's not what it is actually intended. You know, it's a parasite killer. It's something to used to kill viruses, and it has nothing to do with horses in general. Do they use it on horses? Sure. Horses are mammals too, motherfucker. I can't believe, like, you have CNN going out of their way to say that he's taking a horse dewormer. If you can't see the manipulation that they're trying to do, I don't know what to tell you. Just follow the money trail. Why would the mainstream media giants keep calling the thing that he took a horse dewormer when it's used for multiple things? Sure, it's used as a horse dewormer at higher doses because these animals are huge. But that's not news. That's clickbait bullshit. It's also clickbait bullshit to get you to only trust the pharmaceutical companies that are making the vaccine so that they can continue making their money and keeping their stock prices up. It's so apparent. It's so fucking apparent. I'm going to show you some things, okay? I'm going to show you some things real quick. Here's the one of the first fake news things that started coming up, okay? Rolling Stone reported that gunshot victims left waiting as horse dewormer overdoses overwhelm Oklahoma hospitals, doctor says. Turns out this shit was fake. First off, the fact that you called it a horse dewormer, again, now it's picked up. One person calls it horse dewormer because they hate Joe Rogan and they want to make him look even bad. So then they say, hey, you know, he's taking horse medication, this idiot. And then the Rolling Stone picks it up. And this is the best part right here, okay? Now watch this. There's a follow-up to this. Drew Holden on his Twitter posted, after I posted about that Rolling Stone article, saying that horse dewormer overdose is keeping gunshot victims from getting the care they need because the hospitals in Oklahoma are overwhelmed. Okay, just remember that for those of you that are listening. Now I'm putting up this other tweet. And he says, first, for context, here's the original piece from Rolling Stone. Okay, he's showing you what I just showed you earlier. And the follow-up from the actual hospital saying the story is BS and that the one person the story quotes doesn't work at the hospital anymore and hasn't in months. What is news? What the fuck is news? News is just now a propaganda arm to stoke a feeling in us, to get us, to corral us, to hurt us into a direction that benefits those at the top that are going to profit from this. Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, those motherfuckers are not making any money from anybody realizing that ivermectin may also be another approach to battling this. I'm blown away. I really, really am. You know? Because... Oops, sorry. Yeah, there it is. I had to put that up again. Yeah. So there you go, the Rolling Stones with this fake story. Gunshot victims left waiting as horse dewormer overdoses overwhelm Oklahoma hospitals, doctor says. And then within a second, there it is. The article and then also the hospitals saying, yo, this is bullshit. Not only that, one of the employees that you quoted doesn't work here and hasn't worked here in months. Oh, my God. And then the same guy posted this tweet. He goes, but it wasn't a single story out in the ether. Plenty of other places picked up the story, too, with no additional sourcing or research. And he posted an article from Business Insider that says, Oklahoma's ERs are so backed up with people overdosing on ivermectin that gunshot victims are having to wait to be treated, a doctor says. So then now what happens? The fake news goes off and you have a lot of these journalists that would rather, you know, be on TikTok than actually do the research. And then they just go, oh, well, then I guess if the Rolling Stone says it, then I can just take the same type of information they put in there and then change a bunch of adjectives and color it with some flair writing. And there you go. Now I got paid and I can go twiddle my diddle. To me, it's just fascinating, man. I'm sorry. You know, I kind of wanted to talk about other shit, but when this thing came off, I was like, I just couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. It's so fascinating to be able to see what's happening if you want to look for it, and then to see other people just let it manipulate them. It's, and right now the liberals are the ones that are being coaxed into being the sheep herders of this misinformation. So they're the ones that are going, they're the ones that are being manipulated to shame everyone into doing it, right? And you know what? It's going to come full circle another way. That manipulation is going to hit the right soon. And then soon I'm going to be bitching about how the right is blind and how they're not fucking thinking straight and how they're not listening to the actual information and the data, because whatever topic that we're all fighting over happens to be something that, you know, the Republicans or the conservatives could be easily manipulated into favoring. And then the media will start to corral those people and stoke those people so that they become the shame purveyors, the ones that go around telling everybody that's wrong, even though you hit them up with some real information. I mean, man, I don't know. I'm gonna have to start rethinking this podcast, man, because like this shit just making me mizad. And then the last thing I want to put up when it comes to this guy Drew Holden is fucking killing it. So now he posts something that Rachel Maddow posts. And what she posts was, patients overdosing on ivermectin backing up rural Oklahoma hospitals and ambulances. The scariest one I've heard of and seen is people coming in with vision loss, he said. I guess that's the quote she's putting the quote of the so-called doctor, what he said, okay? And then Drew Holden posted, but the real champion of this tall tale was MSNBC. Rachel Maddow had a tweet about it, and it went viral. She's got an audience of millions of people and couldn't be bothered to even look into a story that pretty obviously doesn't pass the sniff test. Bravo. Holy fucking shit. I think before I let you guys go, this is the thing that I just want to it's fucking sick. We're fucking sick right now, man. We are in a civil war right now in this country. But it's a digital civil war that's cute and doesn't have a lot of bloodshed. So I'd much rather have this civil war where I can like have a civil war, you know, drinking a C4 energy drink called Frozen Bombsicle, as opposed to a civil war in 1775 where motherfuckers were shooting with guns that you had to reload every time you shoot it. And then when you ran out of bullets, you had to storm across the field and then look your enemy in the eye as you try to jab a bayonet in their dick. And then if you did get hit by one of these archaic bullets, they weren't that efficient. So then you would be left laying on the battlefield for 3 days. Dying, and nobody knew how to fix whatever happened to you. So I'd much rather have this civil war, so long as this civil war doesn't actually go out to a regular battlefield, because if it does, the fat liberals are fucked, man, because the conservatives have all the guns. Now you fucked up there. So where are we taking this civil war, guys? Because I'm a liberal too, man, and you know, if the war pops off, man, I'm sorry. I'm not hanging out with the people that don't have guns. Sorry. I don't have to start, like, killing my own family and shit. Be like, dumb liberals. Look, conservatives, I'm not a bad guy. Ha, ha, ha. Don't shoot me. People were online calling for Joe Rogan's death after taking ivermectin. There's a lot of people I know that literally want that motherfucker to die as soon as he got COVID. Not be, you know, and how evil is that? They only want to do it because they just want to be right. You know, I don't know, man. Like, you know, you see those comments on there and part of you goes, what the fuck's wrong with humanity? But then another part of you goes, is that person really a terrible person? Does that person really want Joe Rogan to die? Or is it that the war that's being fought online is so easy to say terrible things because you don't got to really see the person? And would they really mean that in real life? I don't know. I don't know. But take into consideration that horse dewormer is now the term for ivermectin. Take that into consideration. You should be fucking mad at that shit. People should be mad at how we're being manipulated by these motherfuckers, you know? Because it's so obvious. And here, look, I'm going to say this again. I'm not saying take ivermectin. I'm not a fucking doctor. I'm also not saying don't get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. You know, because listen, the numbers are showing, you know, whether they're real or not, I don't know. But right now, the data's coming out, and almost anybody that's science-based says that, hey, the this thing is not that bad. And you can take it, and the data shows that it will help from keeping the spread. But the thing is that some people take the vaccine, they still get sick. My buddy got COVID, kicked it, no problem. Then got vaccinated. Then got COVID again and ended up in the hospital with pneumonia. So well, my point is that just stay vigilant, motherfuckers. We're at a point right now where everything's fake. Cocaine is fake now. I mean, it's always been fake, but now it kills you. You see what I'm saying? It's like everything is like out to get you. Everything is trying to take your fucking head off or trying to keep you focused on a type of an agenda that will benefit other people. And for so long, the military industry has been the focus of a lot of people's minds in terms of that manipulation of getting us into wars that we don't need to be in, right? Like 9/11. 9/11 happens, right? The majority of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia, and we went into Iraq. Let's put that into perspective. I mean, that right there is the easiest one. One of our biggest allies in the Middle East, Saudi Arabia. The majority of the hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. And we invaded Iraq. Huh. Why didn't we do anything with Saudi Arabia? I don't know. Maybe because they own like 20% of our economy. Maybe because we need them to give us that sweet, sweet black gold oil to keep our fucking Hummers running. And then finally we went into Afghanistan. Okay. My point is that, you know, I've been having like a big theme in these last couple of few podcasts where it's like, let's try to see through the bullshit. And to me, I think it's very important for us to really try to see through the bullshit. And this horse dewormer thing really pisses me off. Watching liberals wanting Joe Rogan to not make it out, that really pisses me off. One more thing I will say about Joe Rogan, though. The thing that I didn't like about what he did, okay, is this. I listened to Rogan. On his podcast, he would always tout, if you're young, if you're healthy, if you're taking care of yourself, you probably don't need the vaccine. Now, he got a lot of controversy for saying that. I don't know why people believe everything Joe Rogan says. Even he says he's too stupid that you shouldn't listen to him. But he has his opinions. And one of his opinion was, if you're young and relatively healthy and you take care of yourself, you probably could fight COVID off without the vaccine, right? And what does he do? He doesn't get vaccinated. And for so long, he's been flexing about how he wouldn't get it. His family got it. He never got it. He's been on tour with guys that got it. He never got it. He says maybe it's because of all this stuff that he's taking. He's taking testosterone and all these vitamins and BPC-157, which is a peptide that reduces inflammation and all kinds of shit. He's like the Batman of comedy, okay? He's got money. He can do that, right? The thing that I didn't like was that as soon as he got COVID, what did he do? He threw the kitchen sink at it. So now I'm like, why are you going against everything you were standing for? For so long, you were saying that, hey, man, I take care of myself. I take all these freaking vitamins. I really think that if you stay healthy, you can really kick it with vitamins, right? Then he gets it, and then he throws everything at it. Vitamin drip IVs for 3 days, ivermectin, unicorn cum. This guy threw everything at it. And listen, if you could do that, great. But to me, I kind of wanted to see that motherfucker just handle it. Like a lot of us. I got COVID before I got vaccinated and it was nothing. It was just a cold. Just it lasted too long. That's all. Right? But here's this motherfucker. Straight the fuck up saying that, hey, I take good care of myself. I inject myself with all this stuff. I take all these supplements that show that fights COVID. And I really think that you probably don't need to take the vaccine if you're doing all these things. And then he gets COVID and then he throws $1 million at it. Well, not a million, but I mean, he threw some money at that shit. Now, aside from that, I don't know why people are mad at him. I think there's something to learn from that. You know, whatever that doctor gave him and stuff, he kicked it in like 2 or 3 days. I think he got it. And then like 3 days later, he tested and it was COVID negative. So whatever he took, that cocktail of stuff he took, blasted it out of his system. The shitty thing is we don't have a healthcare system that all of us can really enjoy that. Instead, you have to be rich to do that. and then you have to be shamed into taking a vaccine that nobody really knows works or not, but yet the science says it does work or not. Ugh. I keep telling my liberal friends this. Why are you so mad that there's people that are not taking the vaccine? If you really think that you don't take the vaccine and you get COVID, you will die. I tell my liberal friends, then you should be happy that people are not taking the vaccine, because the majority of those people are Republicans. Don't you want those people out of here anyway? Why are you getting so mad that, oh my God, look at all the people that are dying in Florida. You hate those people. You fucking have legit psychotic episode aneurysm inducing blowouts thinking about Republicans and what they do and how they think. And then this COVID thing hits. And it's knocking the fuck out of old Republicans. And now you're mad. Come on, man. Get your fucking shit together. All right, guys. This podcast went a little longer than I expected. Not too bad. I'm trying to keep it under an hour. You guys are awesome. Jason says, look into Agenda 21. And he says, legally, news outlets are entertainment companies. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm going to look into that. I didn't realize. Well, I mean, yeah, I guess legally they are. Listen, it's a freedom of speech thing, right? It's not like we have a freedom of speech laws that force news to only give us news. It's freedom of speech. They should be allowed to lie to us. I'm not saying that they should, whatever, legally, whatever. Doesn't matter. But we have gotten lazy. The information's out there, but we want the quick fix. We want to listen to the CNNs and the Fox Newses and these fucking talking heads that when you turn on the TV, you think that that fucking pretty person is giving you the news. They're not. They're reading the news. Why can't we fucking like see for what it is? They're reading the news that somebody curated for them. They're not telling you what's on their mind. And if they do, they know that they can't say certain things. Otherwise, they lose their jobs. Agenda 21. Okay. I'll look into Agenda 21. Guys, you're fucking awesome. Next week, 2 p.m. Wednesday. Oh, shit. Hold on. I might have to do it on a different day next week, because next week I'm in San Diego again, possibly doing two shows. But next week, more than likely, we're going to do it Thursday again. Thursday, 2 p.m., only because I have a show. And follow me online, MikeFromDetroit.com. Subscribe to me on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Rate 5 stars. Leave a review. You can even say, fuck this guy, but leave 5 stars. That's what really matters. I'm just really reading the reviews. But I love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Can't wait till next week. I'm hoping to really make this thing even better and tighter as I keep going, guys. You guys are the shit. Stay healthy. Get some good sleep. Get a lot of good sex in if you can, even if you have to buy it. And call your mom. All right, guys. Deuces.
Public Yemeni number 1.